All right, guys, we'll get started here today. Tell the Truth Mondays is a really important part of our process that we go through each week. And the truth is, for us, it's absolutely about the football. And for us to have a game where we had four turnovers and zero takeaways, that makes it really hard. And then if you couple that with the fact that we had 11 penalties to go that way, it made it really hard. And things that we found out, you know, that we already know, were really tough outfit. And the fact that we were able to come back and battle in to go and force the game to go into overtime, that part of the competitiveness and the toughness of our team totally shows through. But we really need to play to our principles. And for us to be at our best, defense has to be ball hawking, offensively, great decisions on the football. So that's really where the truth came out today when we met with the team. And with that, I'll open it up to some questions.
Coach, when you looked at the penalties, it looked like four were, you know, two alignments, two false starts, and the rest were penalties of action. How do y'all break or classify those types of penalties?
The way that we like to classify them is the pre-snap penalties, that ones, you know, it might be a false start or a defensive, aligned in the neutral zone, those kind of infractions. The ones that regard, you know, the holding, usually as an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, when is the time to release? We run a wide zone scheme, so I got my hands inside a guy. It's about to get outside the framework. Knowing when to release is a really important part of that, so you don't get the foul that's called upon you. The ones that are down the field, like an OPI or a DPI, it's a close battle in terms of when it's from hand fighting to when it goes into interference. And that's kind of the line that all teams have to deal with. But for us, we know it's an important part of our game, one that we can for sure clean up.
Dan, turnovers and penalties are usually a sign of what people would say an undisciplined football team. Is it fair to say your play at least has been undisciplined?
I think it's fair to say that when you see the turnovers and the penalties, and that's what probably stings the most for us. We are a really disciplined outfit, and when we don't play our style and play true to how we want to play, that's the results that happen. So I think it's fair to say in that game, you know, that was certainly the case. We know there's so much out there for us to play our clean game that we'd like to do. And so for us in the second quarter of ball, we did not do a good job with the football compared to the first quarter, you know, of the season where we did. So it's right back to the emphasis for that. That's going to be an important part of our discussions, not just, you know, today, but each of the days as we go through.
Just a quick follow-up with the turnovers. I asked you earlier in the year about when Tevin had his turnover, you put him right back in the game.
Yep.
Coaches will sometimes bench players for turnovers. Is that a situation that's even an option for you to – you know, let players know that, hey, you can't count on the football, you can't get on the field.
Yeah, I think everything's an option. It's kind of on a case-by-case basis. If there was somebody that we had to get, you know, make sure you stand by me until we get our problem fixed, I don't feel like that's the case with any of the players at the moment right now. And for us, I just really want us to play our technique better and make sure we give it the proper regard that it deserves. So that's really where we're at.
Coach, how do you analyze the center situation right now? Person had that bad snap, you know that, and a couple other snaps that just didn't work in his favor in that game. How do you want to proceed from now on with the center situation?
Right. I think it's an important topic to discuss. Just as you would have a fumble or an interception, anytime we're not playing our best, you know, in terms of just our fundamentals, whether it's a shotgun snap or an under center, we're going to look at all of it. And if there's changes to be made, we'll do that. But we're going to go through that whole process this week and find to put us in the best spot available to do that.
Confident in person right now?
Yeah, we have a lot of confidence in Mike. We want to make sure we're just going to keep grinding to work to get our situations right. That's number one.
Last thing on that same subject,
sure.
What about Stone and Gronkowski? You know, where do they stand?
Yeah, for us, all of that's going to be a part of the competition as we're going through it. We're anxious to see what Gino has as well. He's got probably the most experience, you know, playing center, so that's certainly an option for us too.
Injury-wise, how is person?
We're going to take a big seat tomorrow as we're going through. He sprained his ankle again and was able to come back and play. James also came in. So I can tell you this, he's one of the toughest guys on our team. So if there's a chance for him to go, you know, he just has that makeup about him that his pain tolerance and threshold is pretty high.
Any update on your cornerbacks? And what did you see out of the young guys that had to come in and fill those holes?
Sure. We were really pleased with Jalen, and there wasn't a lot of action that went over his way. But we've kind of been expecting him to make the jumps and the increase that he has. He's a much better player now than he was just 7-8 weeks ago in terms of the technique and the effort that he's playing with. So for us, we've been really pleased in that way. For some of the strains of the guys, whether it be a hamstring or a groin, we'll take that through the week and find out more as it goes. So we don't have a big update for you on that as we get through practice. You know, usually when you're walking around with a strain, yeah, it feels pretty good, and then I got to go out there and practice and play.
Trufant hadn't had a lot of action this year, you know, being targeted and whatnot.
Right.
Two big plays on the sideline yesterday. What did you make of those? And, you know, how's he doing?
Yeah, physically, I think he's going to be – he's doing well, and hopefully he'll, you know, keep improving as the week goes on. For the ones that went over there, I think that was probably an example, like sometimes where we talk about the hand fighting that goes back and forth. Could calls go either way as it happens? We certainly expected the ball to go, you know, whichever way Evans was, you know, taking the shots to go towards him. So we're not surprised by that in any way.
Arizi, I had an opportunity there to try to come up with a turnover. I know he was frustrated about that, but I know you said that you wanted to see him work on communication. Have you seen him get better at that?
I really have. And the biggest thing is it's really happened over the last 2 weeks. You know, 2 weeks ago we were disappointed when we were in New Orleans, the communication, and he's just dialed in on it. And, so for him, he'd love to have that play back where he could have, you know, had the interception. He does have good hands, so we were surprised that that one got away from him, but we're really encouraged about where he's headed.
Yeah, well, the game is going on, and then when you have a chance to look at film, is it more disappointing or is it more anger-inducing as you sort of watched what went on yesterday?
Frustrating or angering?
Yeah, disappointing or angering. Which one becomes the right emotion?
I would say disappointing, because I know what we're capable of, and so that would probably been the one, you know, when we're at our best, you know, we're just going after the ball like crazy and taking care of it. So we really emphasize it hard. And so for us, when we don't have those opportunities to do that, that's the one that's disappointing for sure.
Dan, in reference to the penalties, I mean, in Seattle 2 years ago, you guys in the last 2 years, Seattle led the league in penalties or
right.
at the top of the league in penalties, yet you still won a lot of games.
Right.
What was the reason? Is there anything particular how you're able to overcome those penalties and the amount and still – win games there that did not asking you to compare them, but it didn't happen in
sure,
the last two.
And funny enough, it's a really good question to ask in this situation. Offensively, we were able to overcome a lot of those penalties yesterday where the drives were able to continue to move. But, man, that's a slippery slope and one that you just don't want to have to rely on to say, okay, you're first and 20 and you're still going to end up converting to get the first down, you know, in that drive or in that series. So for us, those kind of discipline plays, let's not make it so hard where now some of those plays can keep going. So that's really the goal of it, to say let's not put ourselves in situations that are so hard. Sometimes when you have turnovers and penalties, man, like every play now is like this is the most critical play of the game, the most critical play of the game. So that's really what you try to avoid and, you know, have just some normal, you know, ball scenarios. There was a one that we ripped one to Jacob Tammy for a long one, but I think it might have been like on a first and 20. You know, all right, you're back to second and three, you know, and on a 17-yarder. But to count on those, we say, all right, we'll just, you know, it's first and 20. We'll rip a 17-yarder here. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Pass rush isn't where you want it to be right now, but Claiborne's been a guy who's been pretty disruptive. How do you think he's been able to adjust to that new role at defensive tackle?
Well, we're trying to, like crazy, to find ways to affect the quarterback. It's moving the quarterback off the spot as the quarterback hits. Sometimes we can all see just the sacks, and, yeah, of course we're low in there and want that number up because not only are the sacks the lost yards, but it's also opportunities to get the football, you know, off the quarterback. So those are ones that we look at really hard. As far as Claiborne goes, I think it's just the thing that stands out to me is the relentless competitor. It's down after down, you know, the battle to will and go fight. It's one of the plays, you know, no one will ever talk about, but yesterday there was a play with Julio Jones, you know, on an interception. Matt had one, you know, had a free play, but the relentless competitor that Julio is ended up being an interception, didn't count, but not on his watch. You know, he was going to go down, chase the guy down, make the tackle. You know, Julio didn't know there was a penalty on the play, but for him to show, like, this is how I compete every chance. I thought we've talked about him as a player and we've talked about him as a competitor. That's probably one play that, you know, none of us talked about, but like when you watch it, you're like, man, look what that guy stands for. And I know it's not in reference to Clay, but I think that type of competitiveness, there's a bunch of guys like that. And it's absolutely what we stand for. So when I know the competitors are right, can we get our football to be just right in terms of the turnovers and the penalties? I like where we can go, but, you know, you can't just, you know, neglect those things. Don't worry about the penalties. Don't worry about the turnovers. You know, having toughness and competitiveness, that's a key ingredient of what we're going to do, but it's not the, you know, the only ingredient.
Yesterday we talked about Hardy and Collins as two rookies who have, you know, made significant strides recently. You brought in a pretty big coaching staff here this year, and how do you feel like, you know, the coaches you brought in have helped those two guys especially develop?
Right. Each guy that we want to have on the team, we want to take every player as absolutely as far as we can. That's kind of our obligation to these players. And that can mean from a guy, you know, who's on the practice squad to the guy who's playing at his best. Can we get each player to reach their potential? And that's our job, to push them and find them and find out all the unique stuff that they have. And so that's our job as a staff, to find out, you know, not just the rookies and see how far we can take them, but for the veteran player, how, you know, good can we get at their skills? So it's a really important part of our process as coaches. We're a developmental staff, and so we're trying to take every single guy as far as we can.
Dan, Matt had a tremendous second half yesterday, yeah, leading the comeback. After the struggles he's had the past couple of weeks, did you see anything on tape that looked, you know, all of a sudden it looked like it clicked for him and everything started going back to the way it was earlier on in the year?
It certainly did to me. And I think it was just his quickness, his urgency, and the decision-making he had. Anytime, you know, throw for over 80%, and it just felt, you know, the decision-making and the quickness, it was right there. I had a sense that he'd play well. And so for him to come out and complete the balls, you know, I think it was 10 different receivers who caught it. And the accuracy that was there, I think, you know, with Julio, he had 12 targets and 11 catches. Like, that's hard to do. And so I thought, yeah, he had a good game.
Is there maybe an emphasis of going a little bit more hurry up? I know you don't talk about the pass, but it was one of the best things of not getting to the line of scrimmage, and a hurry up seems to have worked in the past. Is that something that moving forward becomes part of this?
Not right now. I think it kind of depends on the game plan. And there's certain games that we may do that because we like, you know, the run game and the play action that goes with it. But you can also do that, you know, at the line of scrimmage. So for us, hurry up sometimes just mean playing without a huddle and making decisions at the line of scrimmage, which, you know, we're fortunate enough that we're able to give Matt all those options.
And there is a difference between having to clean things up and fix things.
Yeah, that's true.
Where do you think you stand mostly right now?
Yeah, it's an awesome line. I think for us, we have to clean things up because I don't think it's something that's broken as much as we can get sharper at it. And the reason I'm able to say that is because of over the first four games where we were at in terms of the turnover margin and creating takeaways. So on the two games where we made it really hard on ourselves, or excuse me, four games where the turnover margin wasn't like we like, we ended up going 2-2 in those games. So for me, it's a cleanup, not a fix. I think I love the term on that too.
What's the defensive scheme where you've got basically kind of the middle of the field open a little bit? What's that designed to do?
It could be dependent on if it was man-to-man or a zone with it. If you leave the middle field open and you're playing zone, generally you're playing with five, you know, underneath guys in some way. If you're playing with it in man-to-man, usually there's, you know, somebody over top of somebody. So, you know, for us, when we do it both with man-to-man and with zone and with other teams. Sometimes it's to take away the short stuff and, you know, have more zone players underneath.
Coming from the NFC West, what will you be able to share with the staff and the players about San Francisco? I've seen them a couple times a year.
Sure. I think probably just from the personnel standpoint of the guys we've had a chance to compete against, you know, that side, you know, we have a pretty good understanding of the guys who are there, certainly, you know, from the offensive side, in my experience. And then, you know, Chris from the, you know, offensive side and the experience of the guys who were there. But past that, you know, it goes right back into this week's game and the preparation that goes right to it. For us, in one of the messages, we want to have a championship game mindset every week. The details, the mindset to go play at our very best.
And you all, I know you all look at the roster every, you know, week and so forth. Trade deadlines tomorrow. Will you all be evaluating any proposals or making any proposals that may, you know, improve the roster?
Well, that's one of the good things about Thomas and I and our connection. That's not something that's just we wait until one time to make those kind of decisions. Those are conversations that we have all the way through. If there's ever chances, like we've said all along, to, you know, help our team in any way, we would certainly consider those, but not something at the front of our, you know, topic tonight, you know, more so than any other time.
Every loss is disappointing, but the fact that you're 0-2 in the division, the two losses you have this year, stings a little more, obviously.
I think just when you don't play like you're capable of, man, does that really get you? And like, we got to give credit to Tampa Bay; they were the ones that also forced, you know, the turnovers that happened. So for us, I think that's probably what stings the most, when we just didn't play like we're accustomed to playing and the style and the fashion that we want to. So that more than anything, regardless, you know, the division probably adds on to it, but. More so just that we're not, you know, able to play in a style that we like. So the good news is we get right back to it again. And so we're not going to spend too much time dwelling on things that we can't do. We're going to spend a lot of time worrying about things that we can do to clean up and get better at.
Coach, I know you talked about a lot of the rookies throughout the course of this, but how would you evaluate the draft class right now after eight games?
As a whole. Well, I'm encouraged by what we're seeing from the guys and the development that they're making. And, you know, all of them are contributing, you know, to a certain level to get better. And so that part I'm encouraged to see, okay, we've kind of found out the unique stuff that the guys have and how do we use them and feature them. And the one thing I would say is, like, all these guys have earned the respect of their teammates by the way they want to work and the way they want to get. And as a rookie, you can imagine that's like one of the most important things, like showing your teammates, hey, man, you can count on me. You know, when it's crunch time, you can make sure you're looking in my direction. And that, as much as anything, I think is as important right now, knowing, like, moving forward, these are absolutely dudes you can count on.